Better and Worse with Jess and Rach. All right, everyone. We have a guest star, and we don't know if she's going to be acting right. Are you going to be cooing and cawing, girl? Should I have asked my mom to watch my child or something? Probably.
Yes.
Did I know? I didn't.
Are we whispering? Yes.
Yeah, because Thursday snuck up on me, as it always does. And I said, Josh, act right. Act right, because we got to record this episode. So help us, God. So help us, God. And here we are.
Live.
From our living room.
In the same clothes we've been in for 3 weeks, it seems like. It feels like, at least.
Hey, I've been rotating the tops. I got my spit up robe.
Yes.
And I've got two flannels, because at all times I have to have my boobs access to this machine, my hospital grade pump. And the tits have got to be available. Not to Elsie, because she hates them. Spoiler alert, everyone. Breastfeeding did not happen.
And it's still hard.
And it's still hard. And we're doing the one thing I didn't want to do, which is exclusively pumping. But I am what they call an undersupplier. So I don't even make enough to feed my child. But we're just pumping what we can.
Or to be worth having flat tits for.
Josh is he's like, let's quit while we're ahead. Okay.
I mean, it is your body and then you can do whatever you want with it.
Thank you.
The 1 ounce is every 4 hours when we got a full deep freezer of black market milk.
Shout out Raquel and Brooke, a friend from high school and her cousin, who have extra breast milk. And hey, I ain't against, I think it is kind of weird if you think about it too hard, giving your child someone else's breast milk. But
no, it's cross-pollination.
And explain what that means to you.
You're cross-pollinating your child with other breast milk to give them other nutrients and hormones and whatnot.
And that's just science, baby.
Yeah.
And this is Josh's last full day of paternity leave.
Yeah. And there's nothing I'd like to do more than record the podcast with my wife and my daughter.
Good. Oh, I feel like basketball is on in the background, and that's going to be a mistake for us. Thinking about it too much, so we're gonna sorry about that. We're gonna
cut.
I don't know how to turn it off, but also here's a fun fact. Here is just a tip of the dick, if I can leave you guys with something. If you're the type of guy, gal, or they, them that forgets where the remote is all the time or just can't find it, you can get, oh God, you can get it on your phone.
Yep.
You can, if it's a Wi-Fi TV.
And they're nice. It is nice. Rachel paid for it.
I paid $30.
And so I don't have access to it.
It's worth every penny. You could pay $30.
I don't have that kind of money, but.
Hey, yeah, we do. Money, money is what is money.
Yeah.
If I know anything from leaving the hospital with a new human being and feeling like I have nothing for this child.
You have something. I mean, you definitely have something.
Well, I spent
medical debt.
Yeah, I spent a lot of money in those first weeks.
Yeah.
Just Amazon Prime.
You were priming.
Swiping it. And hey, the money.
It'll come back around in a yard sale eventually.
Oh my God. Our garage, the more I look at it, the more it gives me hives. We have a two-car garage that is filled to the brim with
not
shit.
Cars.
Not cars. Not our nice cars that we spend too much money on a month. Shout out to anyone else who has to pay a car payment in the year of our Lord 2023, because it's fucking rough out here.
It hurts.
It hurts. The interest rates. Go to hell. The interest rates.
The Fed, baby.
The federal government. That's why we don't trust
them. The federalities.
Damn. But welcome, guys, to the podcast. It's Rach and Josh. We are thrilled to be able to tell you the story of our sweet baby girl today and kind of go over, I mean, the black hole we've been in for the last 3 weeks. She's been alive.
It's been a funk.
She exited my body exactly 3 weeks ago. And man, it's been like a blur, but also feels like, how was there ever a time we didn't know her?
Yeah, I don't know. It feels like just yesterday we were in the hospital because we got in a car wreck. And now we're here.
Yeah. The
happy, healthy baby. So
she is. Well, sometimes she's sour.
Yeah.
But that's to be expected. What is so great about the world?
Yeah. Nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah.
She's
probably upset about Ukraine. Like her dad.
Yeah, she should. Josh hasn't given up on Ukraine.
People forget about it, but I won't.
He won't. He's on the Reddit pages. He's keeping updated. And also someone in our comments when I put up like the question box asked if we were doing okay with the train wreck in East Palestine. The answer is we don't know. We don't know. We don't know. We're about 60 miles away.
To the west, and there were eastbound headwinds pushing the air towards like the eastern shoreboard. So we're hopefully okay.
Yeah, we don't know. We don't know anything, and ignorance is bliss, baby. I don't know. I've got too much to worry about. We have filtered water. I hope that's enough. We have city water, Akron city water. I don't think the watersheds are cross-contaminate. I don't know.
Our toilet paper supply is drastically low, though. We need to restock up on that.
And that has nothing to do with the tragedy that's happening in East Palestine. Well, but that is
it's a prepper. It's a prepper move, just in case. You want to be stocked up. You remember 2020, people forget.
That was the weirdest.
All of the toilet
shit.
Paper was taken off the shelves, and I'll never let that happen to my family.
Oh my God. All right.
We're in a middle income household. We will buy the biggest thing of toilet paper you can buy when we can buy it.
And we do.
We do.
And I mean, and you'll buy the smallest pack of beans that they have.
And I buy a pound of beans, a pound of dry beans every time I'm at the store. Do you know how many pounds of beans we have in our basement?
4.
13.
Are you serious?
I swear. 13 pounds of dry beans.
Okay.
You won't be shaking your head whenever we have dry beans to eat.
I mean, I hope that we hydrate them.
Yeah, yeah. I have an electric lighter, too, so we'll definitely start a fire. But anyways.
This is the man that I married, everybody. Joshua Bradmore, baby.
Birth of our daughter.
Yeah. But before we get into that, our friend Jess, I can't think about it too, you know, hard or long because I will actually start sobbing because she is truly going through the hardest thing that I think we as humans have to go through in life. And everything that she's been going through for the past, you know, 4 or 5 months is just coming to a head right now. And I felt very, very strongly that we need to take a long break for the podcast because Jess said to me, you know, kind of when all of this started to go down and we were already on the, you know, the monthly episodes. And she told me, she's like, Rachel, I'm never going to be able to say no. She's like, I'm never going to be able to call it. And you guys know me, I'm never going to be able to call it either. Like, you know, I just had a baby and going through this big life change, but like, we still want to do this and be there. But I very much felt like now that like things with Jess are just getting even heavier and harder, as her friend, I needed to just say, like, this is not where your attention needs to be. And I don't feel like I can keep going with the podcast without her at this point. So we're just going to take a break and a TBD on when we'll be back. And it makes both of us very sad. But what Jess is going through is bigger than a podcast. And that's just the truth. So continue to like send her good vibes or pray for her or whatever, you know, whatever you do that, you know, to give her positive feelings. But yeah, This, sorry, burp. This will be our last episode for a while. So I wanted to update you guys on how things have been going for me. I didn't want to just, you know, leave you high and dry. So we are here to talk about the birth of our daughter, Elsie, and then maybe get into some of the questions you guys submitted on Instagram.
And if we have enough time, we can continue talking about prepping.
Exactly. Yeah. Josh is definitely an expert.
Yeah.
How many episodes of Doomsday Preppers do you think you've watched?
Doomsday Preppers?
Yeah.
Nothing. That show was put out by the government. I'm not going to watch Doomsday Preppers.
I think it was put out by TLC, but go off.
I mean, come on. The government obviously owns TLC.
Okay. There's nothing like recording an episode, a podcast episode with your husband to be like, yeah, I really married you.
Yeah, of course you did.
I really did. And you really say things and they go out to the internet, to everyone.
Well, I'm not on Twitter anymore, so I have to get my rocks off somewhere.
I love you.
Anyways, okay, so Wednesday,
February
15th.
Okay,
16th.
She was born on the 16th.
Right.
But we went in on the 15th.
Okay.
But we're winding back. As you guys know, I was overcooked. And our doctor, who, fun fact, saved my life when I had my ectopic pregnancy, his comfort level for, like, your gestation of your placenta is 41 weeks. Of course, I could have chosen to just be like, no, I'll go until I, you know, naturally go into labor. But I just had this feeling that I was going to have to get induced one way or another, because let me tell you, this girl was firmly planted in my uterus. She had no desire to be born.
No, she didn't get the memo that you ate all those dates.
No, she didn't get the memo about the dates or the sex or the spicy food or
curb walking
or the raspberry leaf tea or the curb walking or the going to the gym and walking on the treadmill at 39, 40 weeks pregnant.
Which is ridiculous.
I look like a monster. She didn't get the memo. And so I just was like, all right, we'll do this. And a lot of you guys asked if I had a birth plan.
We had an extensive birth
plan. We had an extensive birth plan. As soon as I accepted the induction and ended up needing to go through with the induction because I was 41 weeks pregnant, everything was thrown out the window, because my whole thing was I didn't want to be on Pitocin, because I knew that if I was on Pitocin, I would probably get the epidural, because Pitocin contractions are a lot stronger, more intense. And I'm not here to pretend like I'm a strong ass bitch. I'm not really. Like, I just wanted to see what my body was capable of doing.
I'd say you're pretty tough, but
yeah, I mean,
Pitocin battles with the best of them.
Well, and it was Pitocin, and we'll start. Okay. So, right. I accept the induction. We go in on February 15th at 8 in the morning.
So exciting. Well, let's back up just an hour.
Yeah.
Oh. We go to Bob Evans.
For the last meal, because...
For a last meal, because you never know if you're going to have to get a cesarean section to where you won't be able to eat.
But spoiler alert, I ate when the nurses weren't in the room.
Right. So we get the Bob Evans. We put in our order. The Bob Evans by our house couldn't be moving slower.
They are in no rush.
Absolutely no rush. They got the morning crowd in there. They got the geriatrics in there drinking their coffee. They have nowhere to go. But we have to have a baby.
And so literally we're like giving the eyes to the waitress. I was a waitress. I know the eyes. It's like, hey, lady, what's going on? Like, because when we got there, there weren't very many people there.
There was one table, I'm
and
pretty sure.
And it literally was like 35 minutes waiting for our food, which is like eggs and toast. Like, what's going on? So I scarf my food down. Josh gets his into go boxes because we're about to be late for our own baby. But, you know, spoiler alert.
You can't be.
You can't be, because homegirl took her sweet ass time.
Full panic for no reason.
Truly. But, you know, you don't want to be late. You don't want to give a set a bad example, or no. You know, put the wrong shoe on the foot or whatever they say.
Yeah, that's exactly what they say. You nailed that.
Thank you. I know things.
Yeah.
So we get there and my doula is there. Christy, shout out. Could not have done the marathon that my birth was without this woman. Oh my God. So we get in there and I was told by my doctor on Monday, now it's Wednesday, that they should be able to just break my water to see if I will go into labor naturally.
He assumed that you're going to dilate further.
Yeah. So
you didn't.
Yeah. And I didn't. So he was thinking I was 3 centimeters dilated. And then I got there and I was still 3 centimeters dilated. But the resident that was there was like, I'm not comfortable breaking your water. And I'm like, so what do we do?
Oh, boy. Tell them what we do.
We do a pill called Cytotec, which softens your cervix, and a Foley balloon.
Which is a medieval torture device.
And also, keep in mind, so they have to put this Foley balloon into your cervix. Ooh. Have to put this Foley balloon into your cervix. And they kept on saying I had something like a posterior uterus, like something I've never heard before. I was like, I don't know what the fuck you're saying, but my qualm here, all right, is they have these dainty lady doctors with their tiny lady fingers just
fisting,
punching my vagina.
Yeah.
Trying to get up there in a way that like my male OB. You've seen me get cervix checks way too many times.
Yeah.
When Dr. Kovacevic does my cervix checks, I'm never in like...
It's light discomfort at most.
But it's not like... I mean, I had bruising around like the entrance of my vagina because of all of these dainty lady doctors. They're punching into me. Awful. I then suggest...
Also, they wear their ring sometimes.
Oh, my God.
Which is bizarre to me.
I can feel it. I can feel it through the fucking gloves. So they're having a real hard time placing this. And I'm like, I'm just like in so much pain with them like fondling into my cervix. I then suggest, hey, guys, would a speculum help with this situation? And they're like, oh, yeah. And I'm like, let's do that, kids.
And it worked great.
And it worked great. It worked great. But the Foley balloon was a medieval torture device, and it was also terrible because I had to stay like laying down for an hour, and they're like, you should cramp for the first 20 minutes. I cramped for the full 4 hours it was inside of me. I had to get in the shower, which I highly suggest anybody get in the shower when they're in labor. Mm-hmm. It was a great experience. I enjoyed it, but... I eventually tapped out of the Foley because...
Yeah, the Foley balloon, they tape to your leg, the inside of your leg.
Yeah, to like...
They stretch it and tape it to the inside of your leg so it pulls against the tension of the tape on your leg to make your cervix bigger, right?
Dilate.
So what happened was Rachel got into the shower and the hot water ended up going through the adhesive and she's like, this shower is making me feel great.
Hey.
And it turns out the Foley balloon had just fallen off, the tape had fallen off her leg.
So it wasn't doing anything. Wasn't hurting me so bad.
Yeah.
Still uncomfortable, but was it hurting me so bad? But I eventually decided, like, there's no fucking way I'm going to keep this balloon inside of me. And the stress of the Foley balloon being inside of me actually made me dilate less, which is not like a clinical thing that they say can happen. But I went from like 3, 3.5 to a strong 2. And I was just like, somebody actually kill me.
Yeah.
So again, the birth plan is out. My birth plan was go into labor at home. Stay at home as long as possible. Until your contractions are 5 minutes apart or 3 minutes apart and you can't talk through them.
1-5-1.
Yeah. And then, you get to the hospital. Hopefully you'll be able to get in the tub and you have a baby.
That's not at all would happen.
Yeah, I was gonna I was gonna turn down cervix checks. I was gonna do all that.
She was the most powerful bad bitch walking in with all of her information and her doula.
But I mean, but I knew that going into it, like, there's no, when you're getting induced, it's just a shit show. Especially if it's your first baby. And that's what people kept telling me. They're like, honey, you're doing great. This is your first baby. This is normal. And I'm like, this is terrible. If this is normal, we should be doing something about it.
They do. It's called a cesarean section.
Yeah. So things were getting, we were there for a while. I had to get 2 or 3 Cytotec pills.
Yeah, 3, I think.
And then my cervix was finally soft. And then they start running Pitocin when I got to be like 4 centimeters dilated. And it took me like 10 hours to get there. And so now I'm like hooked up to the IV, right? Another thing I didn't want. No choice after this. I got the Pitocin running. I got fluids going. And then they break my water after a couple more hours.
Yeah, once you got to a certain dilation point, they broke your water.
And that's when you start to really feel your contractions. Because I think I had a lot of water. I think I had kind of excess fluid.
You did. You were wet.
Very gross feeling.
Yeah.
And someone asked, I'll answer the question, what are my must-have hospital bag items? And everybody hears this on TikTok, the underwear, you know, the like disposable underwear for like incontinence. But put that sucker on when they break your water, or if your water breaks at home, put one of them suckers on, because I cannot tell you, I was just leaking fluid for until I got the epidural and I couldn't feel it.
I've never seen you that wet in my life.
Damn, no. I was wet. It was lots of fluids. But in like, because Josh was like, would help me to the bathroom. And you could tell when I was peeing and when it was just fluid that was dropping out of me. And you were like, not a good feeling. And let's see. So it was around the 16-hour mark, I remember, when they checked me again. I had already been on Pitocin. And it was like 10 o'clock, 9 or 10 o'clock at night. So maybe it was more like 12 hours, 13 hours. I don't know. Long enough to be in a hospital and for your body not to be going into labor naturally, let me tell you. And they checked my cervix again, and I'm only 4 centimeters still. So I'd been on Pitocin for like 4 hours or whatever and had the Cytotec, you know, all that. And I wasn't progressing. And when they did this cervix check, they found that Elsie was tilted, like almost like ear down.
Brat.
And so it was like this unspoken thing that like, if this shit doesn't resolve itself, we're heading in one direction, which is to the OR. You're heading to get a cesarean. So for that reason and the reason of my body's not progressing, I need sleep. There's nothing I can really do. You know, I was bouncing on the ball. I was walking the halls.
You're doing everything.
I was doing everything. It wasn't working. And so I just decided, okay, I'm going to get the epidural so I can hopefully get some sleep. Hopefully that relaxes my body to the point where, you know, I start to dilate and progress. And even if not, I didn't want to not have the epidural and like need the epidural to get a cesarean. So I just was like, we're just going to get it and we're going to roll with it. And I had a very good epidural. That was a great experience.
They do not like you watching. They don't like people watching.
Because I guess people faint. Like,
I thought my dumb brain thought?
What?
It's like, somebody's going to see this and learn how to do it and start doing it themselves. And, like, as a side hustle. It's a side hustle anesthesiologist.
Josh.
It's a super secret trick of the trade that they can't let anybody see.
No, it's just, like, a very long needle that people faint from.
I get that, but that's what my initial thought. I was like, wow, okay.
You don't want me to know?
Yeah. Like, you don't want us to know how to do this? All right.
Oh, my God.
That was my dumb brain thought of the day. I was, yeah. We were going on hour 12, 13, so.
But the epidural, the only negative thing about the epidural, and I remember this from my ectopic pregnancy when I have, like, the nerve block. Whatever anesthesia or whatever happens, I get the shakes bad. Like, my full body shakes. So I wasn't really able to, like, actually fall asleep until they gave me Benadryl. And that helped.
Boom.
Boom. Fell asleep. Got up, like.
Benadryl is such a miracle drug, whoever created it.
Hey. And a lot of people abuse it. But yeah. it was good. It was good for me in those moments. I got about 3 hours of sleep, which is not a lot. But, hey, that's all I get now. Those are the only stretches I get now. is that you? And I woke up in the morning. They checked me again. And I am 7 centimeters. And Elsie strained up. So we are good to go.
Cooking with gas.
So we're on, like, it was like 24 hours after we'd gotten there.
Yep, on the dot.
They're like,
all right, here we go.
It literally took 24 hours for me to consider myself like, okay, now I'm in active labor. Because I was feeling my contractions. Even though I had the epidural, I still very much felt them. Felt the pressure in my pelvis. I could still feel my legs and I was able to, like, move around a bit. My nurse in the morning got me, you know, put a peanut ball in between my legs and just moved me twice. Like, I think it was like 30 minutes on the right, 30 minutes on the left. And then I was fully dilated. it just happened so quickly once we woke up in the morning. And
can we back up and shout out to the nurses on staff?
Yeah.
They were killer.
Night shift nurses hit different.
The night shift nurse that we had, just a brute of a woman.
Yeah.
Takes no bullshit.
Yeah.
And it's my way or the highway in the best way possible.
Yeah. So when she was on, like, on shift, it was annoying to me, but also I get it. Because she's just, you know, she's coming from 20 years of being a nurse, right? And this is my first baby. I've been on Pitocin for hours. I'm not progressing. And she's just, one of the first things she says to me is like, why aren't you getting the epidural? Like, why isn't this happening? Because I think she's just like, I know where this is going and why are we bullshitting about it?
Yeah, let's stop.
But I was just holding on hope that my body would catch up and catch on to the fact that, hey, we're about to give birth to this thing. But it didn't. It never did.
And she knew.
Yeah, and she knew. She was just like, this is your first baby. This is how it goes. And I was like, well, that sucks. And I want it to go differently. But we really bonded over the epidural because, like, she literally, like, held me forehead to forehead because she's like, you're going to have a contraction because it takes several minutes for this epidural to get placed. And you cannot move. So me and you are going to sit through the next contraction. You're going to practice not moving. And – John, I mean, physical touch, one of my love languages, one of the big ones.
Forehead to forehead.
Forehead to forehead. Intimate.
She imprinted on you that
day. Yes. And now we are close. What was her name? Amanda?
I want to say Melissa.
Well, it was.
Yeah, Melissa.
But can we also talk about how Melissa and Amanda, same name, different fonts?
Yes.
There are lots of names like that to me. But yes, Melissa. But then my next nurse, Rachel, was my morning nurse. So it's morning. I'm fully dilated. I'm now, like, getting into different positions for, like, pushing. And one of my other things on my birth plan, what was it, Josh? Didn't want to push on my back. How did I give birth?
Right on your back.
Right on my back. Because I did, like, we tried, like, four different positions for pushing, and my back was the one where, like, I pushed the hardest.
Yeah. You're able to torque enough. You're able to get enough PSI.
So on my back it was, everyone. And they think that pushing's going well. After, like, an hour.
Like, you're doing so good. Oh, my God.
You're so close. You're so close. Because she was, like – you could see her head.
Which is all you can do is be positive in that situation. So I get it. I was doing the same thing.
They were literally like, you're about to have this baby within the next hour. And then the next hour passes.
Well, through that next hour, they're like, next push. Here it comes.
No.
The heartbreak to see the top of my child's head, which also has fucking wires coming out of it, which is bizarre.
Oh, yeah. Oh, all this
internal
stuff.
Internal heart rate monitors. The works. Rachel basically had a robot pussy.
Yeah, I had to have an internal contraction monitor, which once I got my epidural, I didn't care. So I was like, stick whatever you want up there. And they also do these fetal monitors, which I accepted because I was pushing in all these different positions. And it's this tiny little thing with this little tiny, like,
needle
thumbtack thing. Very thin, tiny, that they, like, stick in your baby's head. And it just goes through, like, the first layer of skin. I said no to it originally because I was just like, I don't want to piss this chick off. She doesn't want to come out anyway. But in the end, I decided to because they were like, we literally, like, we can't feel her heartbeat. Like, we can't get at her heartbeat on your stomach anymore. So I was like, fuck it. Just do it. Just do it. Yeah.
Anyway, so I look up and I see the baby's head protruding with all these wires. And I remember looking up and seeing 15 to 20 nurses in the room. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Like, they all come for the birth. And
they all, everybody on the floor just comes.
I'm like, that's awesome of them. They're going to come see the baby get born. Turns out.
We're on number three now. And my doctor's there, Dr. Kovacevic, the one that saved my life, my ectopic. And it meant a lot to have him there. And I was glad that he was there that day. And I don't know what's going on. All I'm doing is I'm pushing. And I end up pushing for 3 hours. And one of the only benefits, I think, to pushing for that long is the fact that Nurse Rachel had been massaging my vagina and my perineum with mineral oil for 3 hours. Every single time I'm pushing, she's creating pressure. So
they're not just putting mineral oil on their fingers.
No.
They have vials and they're dumping it inside on the baby's head.
I couldn't see it.
It was bizarre.
I couldn't see any of that. But I could feel the fact that they were stretching me out. And I will say that for what we're about to tell you what happened and like the final moments of like getting Elsie out of me, I didn't tear very badly. And I credit this to the mineral oil massage, the 3-hour mineral oil massage, because there's no other excuse. Because I'm pushing for a long time, and they keep on saying, it's one more. You got to get her out this next time. And I can't. I just, like, I'm just like, what? I am giving you all of that I got, and I'm getting concerned that it's not enough.
And Dr. Kovacevic is saying, well, this is the last one.
Or I'm going to have to intervene.
Yeah.
And I was like, what do you mean? Like forceps? And he was like, well, like a vacuum. And I was like, okay.
So at that point it was go time.
Yeah. And I think even then he gave me 2 more pushes.
Yeah.
But this is when all the doctors and nurses are there. And then I feel someone pushing their hand on the top of my stomach, and like he's reaching inside my vagina at this
full
point.
Pulling
he is really inside of there. And I can see kind of because I asked them to put the mirror down so I could see the birth.
Ask them to put it up, by the way, whenever they're sewing you up.
Yeah, I did ask them to put them up when I was like, this carnage down there. Elsie comes out. It happens. They kind of like lay her on my stomach. And then all we hear Dr. Kovacevic say is, the baby didn't like that very much, so we're going to take her over here, and we're going to get her checked out. And I'm like, okay. But then, you know, 30 seconds later, we hear her crying.
Full sob.
And Josh and I, there's a picture. We had my doula and, like, some nurses. I just had my camera on, like, an auto function. And those are some of my favorite pictures that will ever exist in this world. And I'm so grateful. But Elsie had something called shoulder dystocia, which meant that her head had passed, but her shoulders were caught in my pelvis, which can be really bad. And like my doctor had mentioned after, like, it was probably like after he had sewn me up, He's like, okay, just so you know, like, sorry, that was really hectic. This is what happened. And I was like, to be fair, I didn't know it was hectic. I'm new here. I didn't know this was anything different than what a normal birth would be. But I look it up when I'm in recovery and I'm like, oh, shit, that is not good.
No.
So I had like the best case scenario of like one of the a pretty rare and terrible thing that can happen during labor. Because it's dangerous because the babies have this like reflex that once their faces touch like air, they start trying to breathe through their lungs.
Makes sense.
But Elsie was caught in my like canal for so long, that sometimes babies get caught in there for too long and then like can suffocate or can lose so much oxygen that they need to be on oxygen for like hours or days. So we were very lucky. Elsie just had some soreness.
Blood vessels burst in her eye.
Yeah, blood vessels burst in her eyes. But overall, she was healthy and, you know, great. What this does mean for my next time is I have like a 1 in 10 chance that it would happen again. Because you don't know, it's not like a breech baby or anything that you can like tell it's going to happen. You don't know it's going to happen until you're literally there. So this was my first and last vaginal birth. First and last, we'll be going operating room next time. Scheduled C-section, which really bums me out, but I've just accepted that I ride on the wave of better safe than sorry, for sure.
When it comes to your child, yeah.
Right. Like, I didn't eat lunch meat for the one in 1 million chance of getting listeria and having a stillborn because you get pirate listeria. Disease. What?
Listeria. It's a pirate disease.
Is it? Are you thinking of scurvy?
Well, scurvy is too, but... Anyway, so Elsie's born, and they push out your guts. Dr. Grabozovich... twists out your guts.
Gets my placenta out.
And holds it up like it's, I don't know, like a damn trophy. And
a shows science us, experiment. It was cool.
Shows us all the different piece parts of your placenta.
He's like, this is where you had your amniotic fluid. This, and I loved that.
Yeah.
It was you were disturbed it by it.
Yeah. He treated it like a little
Do you
toy.
Regret that we didn't do anything with our placenta? Do you wish that we would have like planted it or something?
No, I don't. I do miss... I wish I could have had the benefits of it.
Like you wish we could supplements. Have sent. Okay. You are a big supplements guy.
Yeah. If anything, I would like to have the supplements for myself.
Not for me.
Well, for you too. We could split them.
Oh, gotcha.
But yeah, I wasn't super bummed about it. It seems like a lot. It seems like too much work.
And who knows how much any of that costs. We didn't. I was like, that's one thing I'm not looking into and I'm not thinking about.
Yeah.
I'm just letting my placenta go into the trash.
Yep. So that was the birth, and then me, Rachel, and her mom all sobbed in the room with the baby.
Cher could not get it together.
Cher was shake crying.
Yeah, because I was very hungry, and I kept saying that during birth when I was pushing. I'm like, I'm just so hungry. Because once I like thought that I was gonna get a C-section, I stopped eating. So the last thing I ate was probably like 3 o'clock the day on Wednesday. We got like a late lunch, early dinner situation, and I ate even though I wasn't supposed to, but I did anyway. Because like you're in labor, it's so hard to like keep your strength up. But when I was like, when there was a high possibility that I was gonna have to have a C-section, I stopped eating because I didn't want to like aspirate on my own vomit or whatever. And the other thing that was funny is, so we had our doula, Christy, who was amazing, and who really helped us make all these new decisions that they weren't a part of our birth plan. We were in uncharted waters. Like, she really helped guide us, and, you know, she was absolutely the best.
A doula just, like, slows everything down and, like, hold on, let's talk about this decision, and then we'll make the decision.
She was so good.
They're awesome.
But she was also, like, hyping up Josh. And at one point, she's like, Josh, you've been doing so good. You've been here the whole time. And I say, I'm sorry. If our compliment to men is you've been here the whole time, the bar is on the floor. I'm like, of course he's been here the whole time, Christy.
You got some laughs on that one.
I said the raucous bar. Laughter. The bar is on the floor. And Christy was like, you're funny even when you're in pain. And I was like.
You're like, yeah, I take after my husband.
No, no. When you're in pain, the last thing you are is funny. Yeah, that's true. You're in a full-blown panic.
Yeah. Nobody wants to be in pain.
No, but.
And I'm not going to be shamed for being uncomfortable when I'm in pain. Sorry.
Yeah. But I stand by the fact that, like, I, being, going through transition and, like, pushing and all of that was, it was not, like, the worst pain of my life. I think, like, people say that was, like, pain with purpose. Like, mm-hmm. I think I wasn't, I was never afraid of the pain. I was never,
getting
like,
hit in the nuts, that's pain. Pushing out a baby, like you said.
I'm so really sorry for this episode, everyone.
It isn't even really that.
Maybe it's pain. Maybe I'm a little sleep deprived, but my husband is annoying me.
We've been together for 3 weeks straight.
Non-stop. Not funny. Okay. Boo. But it was not like a terrible pain. And I know I had the epidural, but like I still very much felt what was happening in my body, like the pressure in my pelvis. I felt. But I don't know. I feel very lucky that I got to have a vaginal birth and know what that experience was like. And I just want this to be any sort of encouragement to anyone that, like, it is not, like, it's not that scary. No. I mean, it can be. But I don't know. I felt very prepared and capable. And I kept saying that to you. Like, I very much would look at you and I'm like, I can do this. I can do this. Like throughout the the pushing.
Yeah, it was awesome to see.
Do you have any highlight moments from?
Just the one where it was like she was crowning at like 11:34 and I'm like, babe, it can't happen right now. I'm sorry. 11:34 is like, I see it all the time. It's hell spelled backwards and it freaks me out. It's a number that freaks me out. And I was and like, it can't be this contraction. She's like, shut the fuck up.
I know. And she came at what, 11:53?
Yeah, thank God.
11:53 a.m. on February 16th, 2023. 28 hours of labor, but also some of it wasn't labor, but 28 hours in the hospital. Yep. 28 hours in order to get this Gail.
Here. And here we are celebrating her 3 week birthday.
I'm kissing her face. Oh my goodness. But my recovery, a lot of people asked about that. Like, how's my vag? Vagina's good. 3 weeks. I worked out for the first time yesterday. Pooping is still not great. I'll say that, but that's because I have like internal hemorrhoids.
It's never been your specialty.
No. So pooping doesn't feel great, but my vagina does not hurt and my stitches don't hurt anymore. Second degree tear recovery was fine. I mean, not like comfortable, but
yeah.
And, you know, it is a little crazy though that you go through birth like that and they just give you ibuprofen.
I know. It's bizarre.
It is a little bizarre. I will say,
hook a girl up with some hardcore narcotics.
I think that's because if you're breastfeeding, they like. I think animals you can take them, but still, bit wild, bit nuts. And the other journey that you know we took, and I mentioned at the beginning of this episode, was like the breastfeeding stuff. And breastfeeding did not work for us. I thought it would. I, you know, met with lactation at the hospital and Elsie seemed to latch, although she had kind of a shallow latch, but they didn't at the hospital see the lactation consultant didn't see any like, you know, overt tongue ties. But
fast forward a week later.
Fast forward a week later, we got her tongue and lip tie fixed. But fast forward 2 days, our baby, it's weird when you have a baby because it's like, every moment you spend with them, it's like, I know this baby like the back of my hand. But it's really like, I've only known this baby for 48 hours. Mm. But after like day two, she was so fussy and angry and like she just could not be consoled. And
we're like, this is not our baby.
This is so unlike her. We're like, this is so unlike her. But she wouldn't nurse for more than like 5 minutes. And it turns out that she was just not getting any nutrients.
We were starving her.
I was starving her. Because I discovered this from pumping, and I know pumping and, you know, nursing are different, but it takes a long time for me to have a letdown. So she just wasn't, like, she was losing patience, and it was just generally not a good time. So finally, on Saturday at 6 o'clock, we gave her a bottle, and oh my God, she was just,
we had our baby back. We had our baby back.
Our baby's back. Turns out she was just starving and dehydrated. And I think it's been that journey, the breastfeeding journey and going to lactation meetings and trying to get to the bottom of that. That has been more exhausting to me than like labor or anything. That's been the most emotional thing for me. Postpartum wise, I've been good. I've been very happy. Even through the first lactation meeting I went to was on Monday. So I have this baby on Thursday. Saturday, we give her a bottle. Monday, I'm at this lactation meeting with the lactation group. And it's great. If you're in the Akron area, it's free. It's SUMA. It's awesome. It's like you go there and they have like groups of like six people or however many people sign up that day. And you like weigh your baby, feed your baby, and then weigh them again to see if they're getting enough food. But they also, you know, work on latch and a bunch of different other things. And in this, we discover that Elsie has a lip tie and a tongue tie, which I'm like, okay, that's an obstacle. And then there was another thing, like my low supply. So it was like a bunch of stuff trying to get my supply up. And I get to the car. And outside the car, I say to Josh, because he, like, gets Elsie, he puts the car seat in the car, and I'm like, I'm going to cry. And he's like, why? What's wrong? And I was like, I'm going to get in the car and cry. Like, I have some dignity. Okay? And then I lose it, because it's like, just the whole, like, she's not latching, and, like, I'm failing, and... That was the only time I think I ever...
I felt like it was a lot of emotions about your body bottled up.
Yeah.
And coming out at once. Yeah. Which needed to happen.
Yeah. Because, you know, there's still the, like, feeling of, like, I could have killed my baby because my pelvis was wrong. Like, a lot of those feelings were pretty strong. And
to be told you have birthing hips your whole life just for them to fail at the final minute.
Right.
That's cold.
That is cold.
So,
but hey, we can't harp on it too much. Honestly, it was my mom has put a lot of just like, it's like my mom is a wonderful person. And Cher, if you're listening to this, you know how I feel about you. You're my favorite. You're the best mom in the world. But she can be very strong about what she believes is right and what's best for me and what's, you know. And that was hard for me to be like, hey, mom, like the breastfeeding is not going to be the journey that you think that we're going to take or that you want us to take. Because I'm not going to go through hell to get my baby to latch on my breast when I still don't create enough milk for her to feed off my breast. So like even if she were to latch, I would still have to give her a bottle after, because I only hold like an ounce in my left breast and like half an ounce in my right.
Right.
And she consistently eats 3 ounces of feeding.
Right.
So it just ain't. It ain't what it is what it is. But I was just like, I don't want my mom to be disappointed in me. It was a full sob, full heave-ho cry. The little
kid, 8-year-old cry.
The little kid cry. Just puffy-eyed, like. But that was really my only big breakdown.
Yeah.
And a lot of people asked about how I'm doing mentally. And I think good. I attribute a lot of that to the fact that Josh has been home and to the fact that I'm not breastfeeding because I'm not solely responsible for Elsie's feeding. So, like, if I take a nap in the middle of the day for an hour or two, I fully 100% know that, like, Josh has got it. If she wakes up and she's hungry, he can solve it. If she, you know, you're just as qualified as me to take care of our daughter. And that mentally takes a huge load off. And you have done a really good job, like, of just taking on things just and taking them off me. Like, you know, you've handled, like, all the birth certificate stuff and, you know, all the submitting of forms, like, things that
I hate forms.
I hate forms. And you're filing stuff. You're getting the things done.
We're getting birth certificates. We're getting socials.
You're getting around the health insurance.
We haven't gotten your license plate.
No. That's got to happen.
Which is an issue.
It'll happen tomorrow. Let's say tomorrow.
Okay, yeah. Can we just put the birth on the back burner real quick to talk about the license plate situation? Yeah. Because Rachel Roche is so bad at shit like this. It's unbelievable. She's like, what's my license plate? What's my temp tag say? March 12th? Oh, we got time. We're sitting here at March 9th, and we still got three days now. And I just don't have any faith that it's going to get done tomorrow.
But it can, though.
It definitely can, yeah.
Let's put it on.
And let me say this also. The DMV, 30 seconds away. Couldn't be closer.
It is very close.
So.
It is very close to our house. So let's just put it, let's just say tomorrow.
You said that you'd have it done before I went back to work, and I'm holding you to getting it done tomorrow.
Josh, if I'm going to be honest. You can grab us
some coffees on the way out or on the way back, and we'll have a great little morning.
Okay. But here's the issue. I haven't thought about it. Like, it's not like I think, like, oh, I got to do that. It's literally just like,
yeah.
It's not there. Yeah. It is not.
It's a classic.
It ain't up here. All right. Yeah. It's somewhere else.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to get into some of the questions that people have submitted. Someone asked, did you rip your asshole? My biggest fear with pregnancy. I did not.
No, huh?
I like had tears up to it, but second degree tears, which is like your skin and then your muscle, parts of your muscle. But like my asshole wasn't ripped open. So
neither was mine.
Great. Not funny.
Well, I got to get back to work.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you do.
It's been great, but I need to get back to work for sure.
But my first poop, someone else asked that. Literally, like, didn't poop at the hospital. We only were there because we were there Wednesday, Thursday, and then we went home on Friday. Like, because we had her in, you know, late morning on Thursday, and then went home Friday at like 2 or 3.
Which is the weirdest way to walk out of a hospital. It's just like, okay.
We're just going to take this.
See ya. They're like, yeah, we'll see you. She has a doctor's appointment here. Just don't let her die until then.
Like, okay. Bye.
Goodbye.
Is anybody going to check this car seat or like you just trust us? Okay. All right. But as soon as I got home, I was like, I've got to poop. And I did. And it wasn't the worst thing in the world, but it didn't feel great.
One of the things that I think you could probably recommend is just getting the greasiest, sloppiest food
post-birth. Yeah, we got Swenson's, which is like a local drive-in burger joint. But it's like, take the colace, take the laxatives, take the Metamucil.
Grease up your innards.
Yeah, just keep it liquid. Try to keep it as liquid as possible. And still, I'm not pooping every day now, and we're 3 weeks later. So it's still...
Mm-hmm.
Still, things aren't regular yet.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do? You know?
We'll get back there.
Yeah. So my stance on all that is I could have been worse.
Yeah.
Biggest cravings post-delivery. Fun fact, everyone. I am on Wellbutrin, which before pregnancy destroyed my appetite. And now that's back. So I really don't have much of an appetite at all. And I'm like forced to like drink a bunch of water and eat a bunch of shit that I don't want to eat because of trying to increase my supply.
Which hasn't worked.
Oh, has it worked? It has not worked. I mean, a bit. I mean, it's better than it was. I get a whole ounce out of one of my boobs now versus I was measuring in milliliters. I would get like 10 milliliters.
Which just, is sad. And I was still hyping you up. It was so sad.
The Lightning McQueen trend that's going on TikTok.
The little kid in the stands.
Yes. Lightning McQueen. That's Josh. Every time I pump, he's like, babe, this is great. Look at all that milk.
And you I'm got like, an ounce this time?
Yeah.
Who are you?
And he still does. He Lightning McQueens me. Someone asked how Josh was able to support me during the birthing process. Just like you were just there with me. Like, you weren't, like, on your phone or just being a dick. You were, like,
yeah,
there.
Seemed like a pretty important thing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I did, yeah, I don't know. It's instincts kick in those types of situations where you just kind of do what, it's like, let's do whatever's best. Let's, you know, push your shoulders up to compress your stomach.
Yeah.
And pressurize Elsie inside of you.
Yeah. Yeah, him and my mom were on both my sides of, like, during pushing, and they were, like, pushing, helping me push forward.
Screaming. Everybody screams.
Everybody screams. Everybody's like, rah!
Cher, like, I'm just tired.
Cher was like, I'm exhausted.
Yeah. Ooh, my rotator cuff.
I know. She's like, man, are you sore? I'm sore. I'm like, yeah, Mom, I'm sore. My favorite thing about Josh as a dad so far and vice versa. I just love that you know what you're doing. There are times when you're overwhelmed.
Yes, and that's my favorite thing is you take her from me.
Without, like, judgment.
Yeah.
Because you, but I love that you say, you're like, I'm overwhelmed or, like, I'm getting frustrated. Because, I mean, I in general, like, I never feel frustrated with her or I haven't yet. I know as soon as you go back to work and I'm alone with a stranger, things will feel different. But I feel more like, I think, empathy for her. Because it's like when she's crying, it's like because she's uncomfortable. And I can hold that, like, feeling. Like, she doesn't cry for no reason. Some babies do.
Yeah, and most of the frustration usually comes when you're, like, dead tired and you're like, fuck.
Yeah.
We got to do this again?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? We just did it 3 hours ago.
Shh, 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 shh. It's all right. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. How are the fur babies adjusting?
Fine. They're great.
Yeah, it was not that bad.
Our cats haven't tried to kill her yet.
No. No.
Which I read that's like a thing I saw on the internet.
What?
Like a cat like sits on the baby.
Does it?
And like naps on it and then just like suffocates it.
When has that ever happened in history?
I saw it on an article in like 2015, I think.
I'm going to say I feel like that's never happened. Cats are like...
I would say that everybody would disagree with you. That's for sure happening. I'm sure everybody's seen the same article I saw.
A cat murder? Cat yes. murderer?
Yeah.
Cat baby murderer?
Yeah, 100%. Not on purpose, but they're just like, ooh, this thing's warm. I'm going to sit on its face kind of thing. Like, curl up on its face. And
I just think cats are smarter than that.
Well, last night you were.
Because Herschel will step on her.
Right.
He won't sit on her, but he's like, bah, bah, bah,
bah, bah. Right.
Here's a bassinet. There's a baby. And I'm like, don't wake her up. Because.
But that has happened.
Yes, that has happened. So my favorite thing is that you're capable and you can take care of her. And I don't have to worry about it. And your favorite thing is that I take her from you when you win. When you're overwhelmed. How are you doing becoming new parents with a history of mental illness? And what ways are you looking out for each other? Or dealing with any postpartum depression. You struggled for a couple days there.
Yeah. I'm still struggling for sure.
Yeah.
Like, I get very frustrated at times. Mm-hmm. Because it's just like, you're just like, what the fuck do you want? Just say it, please. My God. But you can't. But when you're at, you know, you're tired and you're at your wit's end, you're like, fuck, just, like, I fed you. You have a clean diaper. Like, please shut the hell up.
And I think in general, it's like, I just knew that she would be a baby.
Yeah.
And just like knowing babies and knowing that babies.
You've been around babies.
Yeah.
This is culture shock to me. I haven't really been around babies like this.
Yeah. And I mean, I've never been around a baby nonstop like this, but I had the perspective of like, okay, this shit could be really bad. But in general, I feel like, you know, I'm getting 2 to 3 hour stretches. You get more at night.
She only cries when she's uncomfortable or needs something or
is tired.
Usually 80 to 90% of the time, she's like, I'm tired and I don't know how to fall asleep. I'm uncomfortable. My diapers need changed. Or give me some titty milk.
Or formula.
Or formula.
We're big on the formula game. Yeah, so she's a good baby as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
But I haven't had any postpartum depression or anxiety yet. Again, I feel like that might change when I'm more on my own. But who knows how that will play out. But hormonally, I've been fine, and I do attribute that to the fact that I've stayed on my medicine.
You were great through the whole pregnancy.
Yeah. And I was very worried that it would all come to a crashing halt.
Yeah.
As soon as that, like, after, you know, I had her. But it's interesting, though, because I think I was talking to Madison about this, but I think we equate, like, a mother's love with a mother's anxiety sometimes. Like, you know, people that, like, they don't want to leave their kids. Like, they never be comfortable leaving their kids. You know, they never be comfortable leaving their baby or, you know, going out to lunch without their baby in those first few weeks, months, sometimes even years. And I have not felt that like that. I've, you know, I went to my 2-week post-op, you know, appointment by myself. Like, you stayed here with Elsie. And, you know, I went to the gym and you were here with Elsie. And I felt kind of like, you know, am I missing something because I don't hold this anxiety?
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's when you feel kind of like, do I not care or something?
We
or,
do.
Yeah, I do. Someone asked, how have you combated mom guilt and feeling like you have to be perfect? And I haven't felt that way. If I felt any mom guilt, it was over me not being able to breastfeed her and just feeling like this is something that we're supposed to do. And I just like, I think there's this whole, it's in the natural birthing community and a lot of just like the more crunchy corners of the internet with motherhood, where it's like, you're made to do this. Your body is made to do this. It's made to birth this baby. It's made to, you know, feed your baby. Like your body is doing exactly what it needs to do. But mine isn't. And so I just really resent people that say stuff like that without thinking like, oh, no, there are some people that have hormonal disorders or, you know, issues. There are some people whose pelvises don't allow their baby's shoulders to get through it. Like that shit happens. And although it's rare, you can't just say like flippantly like, your body is doing everything it should be doing. Just trust your body. Because if I was fighting to breastfeed and wasn't giving up on that and just – Elsie would not be getting enough to eat and I would be going crazy.
Yeah.
And just – I feel like if you found yourself saying that because you want to be empowering – just like think a little bit about it before you say it, because it is disheartening to people that have like the only thing that any lactation has been able to say to me is like, you probably have like, it's just your hormones. You know, they asked me like, oh, did your boobs grow in pregnancy? I was like, no. And they're like, yeah, that's kind of a bad sign. And I'm like, oh, well, great. But, you know. Other than the feeding stuff, I have not felt like, you know, I'm not everything Elsie needs me to be.
Right.
So that's good. And I do think, in a weird way, her being bottle fed helps with that. Just the knowledge that, like, other people are capable of caring for her and feeding her, because that's really, like, in the weird way, like, what you're doing. Like, you're feeding your baby to keep them alive. And when you can pass that responsibility off to other people, it takes so much off of you. In a way that I think some people don't like, because they want to be needed and they want to be the person that's needed the most. But I always wanted Elsie to be combo fed in that, like, whether it was my pumped milk or formula or whatever. I just wanted to be able to breastfeed to, like, save a little bit of money and to stop having to do the dishes so much. Lots of washing bottles, baby. Mm. But it's all right. How have you felt with, like, fatherhood stuff? Is it what you thought it would be? Or are you feeling pressure, anxiety more than you thought? Or just the right amount?
It's nice to have, like, a driver. Not that, like, myself, I've never been the driver for me. And nothing else has really been a driver for me. But it's nice to have, like, an internal, like...
Like, you mean like a motivator?
Yeah, like a motivator. Yeah, exactly. Like, you can go off and do your own thing and, like, be a wedding photographer and take care of yourself. Like, we have to combine our forces and take care of this little human. So that's definitely, it's a healthy amount of anxiety to where, like, hey, like, if I'm grinding at work, like, I'm doing it for Elsie mm-hmm. and us, you know, but mostly Elsie, if we're being honest.
Right.
You know, if I'm going to the gym, it's going to be for Elsie. And I know that's probably not the healthiest, but, like, it's good to have, like, holy shit, like, I want to, you know, see her grow up. And a lot of that's attributed to, you know, my health and my financial success. So, yes, there is a lot of anxieties, but the anxieties that I have produce good things that I've needed for a while.
Yeah. She's a good motivator.
Exactly.
She's so cute and kissable, guys. My God.
She's got the sweetest lips and the sweetest cheeks.
Aww, and they're just like Josh's. Josh's mouth. It's a baby mouth. It's a baby Josh mouth. She's so cute. Little tiny kisses, little lips. I can't stand it. That's me as a mom so far.
That is you. A microcosm. Ooh, I want to kiss you and eat you.
Yeah. Oh, hi. You need to take some pee for the people? No? All right.
Someone asked, how soon did you start making a birthing plan? What's something you didn't plan for? Didn't plan for any of my birthing plan. But I started making a birthing plan when we got our doula around. I think it was like 20 weeks. Or
second trimester?
Yeah. Because I made, like, our birthing plan with her. But I always kind of, like, when I got pregnant, I kind of had an idea of, like, what I wanted. Like, I always knew that I was going into it with the thought of, like, the epidural. Like, I wasn't against it, but I wanted to use it more as, like, a tool if I needed it, and I did end up needing it. So I don't think there's ever too soon to think about the kind of birth that you want. But you also have to know that, like, something that I heard and I might have said this before on the podcast, but is that it's not your birth, it's your baby's birth. And so trying to just, like, go with the trying to just go with that flow and just being like, this isn't about me, this is about bringing my child into the world. And that kind of helped me just realize that, like, this is Elsie's birth. This is her story. This is something we're doing together. And it can be really special and meaningful. And it was for us. Aunt Laura asked, is Elsie excited to meet me?
I think I might be more excited to see Elsie and Laura meet than anybody else.
Really?
I think so.
Why?
Yeah.
Why are you so excited?
I don't know. I know Laura's going to love her and it's going to be a sweet moment. No pressure, Laura. I'm sure you're going to listen to this tomorrow on your trip over to Ohio. So.
Yeah. Laura's had to wait almost a month to meet this baby.
Yeah.
Rough. And she was gate.
Yeah. Everyone who's met her has liked her, too, so.
Is there anything you feel like no one told you about prior? Like, any tips that you're like, what?
Yeah.
What's yours?
It's more of a thing, like buying things, but babies sleep in onesies, are they called?
Like sleepers.
Sleepers?
Yeah.
But you want to get the sleepers with two zippers, and that's a zipper from the foot and a zipper from the top.
Yes.
Because you can foot zip all the way up and do the diaper change. And then you can zip from all the way, the top down.
Take it off. And bonus points for the little, like, mitten flip things.
Right.
Because your babies will claw their eyes out. They've got no survival skills.
They don't give a shit about themselves.
No, they don't care. They're going to scratch their corneas right clean off.
Yeah.
And, but if you can't find onesies or sleepers with two zips, at least get it so it's zips from the bottom up.
Yeah, foot up.
Foot up. Because when you have to zip them down all the way, baby gets too cold.
Yeah.
Baby's like, we were just toasty. We were just warm. We were just happy.
You're letting all my toast out.
Yes.
And they get pissed.
Hate letting the toast out. And we got her these cute little swaddles, which we'll put her hands up here, which she likes. But she does sleep better when we straitjacket her.
Yeah.
Down, arm to the sides. She sleeps much better that way.
100%.
And I don't know if this is the science, but I don't swaddle her for naps. I only swaddle her at night to, like, babies have no circadian rhythm or whatever it's called.
And we're trying to find one.
But it's just hopefully she kind of gets it, like, I'm straight jacketed. It's nighttime. I don't know.
Yeah.
There are things that I'm just saying. This is baby science, and it makes sense to me.
I will say this. There's a lot of things that you read about and you want to do that will, like, make your baby, like, a better person in the long run, like these things that you do, like, okay, you know, let's figure out night and day, you know, nipple confusion, all this, you know, shit. But when push comes to shove, you just gotta fucking survive.
Yeah,
you gotta survive because it's tough.
And
make sure she's fed, make sure she's cleaned, and keep her alive. And if you're doing that, you're fucking fine.
Yeah,
is what I've understood.
And I've said to my mom, like, this ain't the 90s. It's okay. It's all right.
Ladies and gentlemen, Elsie Jean.
Hey. I said to my mom, like, the 90s must have been a wild time because y'all were just operating on a ignorance is bliss. Like,
lead paint.
I don't think lead paint, but also our crib is
rusty
also wood.
Nails. Well, I lived in Windham, so I had a different experience than most, but...
Yeah, that's true. Moldy trailer, probably.
Moldy trailer.
Smoke-filled, smoke-inside trailer.
Hot smoke, like Pepsi in your baby bottle.
Yeah. But, like, bumpers on the cribs. Like, my mom was saying, like, oh, if your baby sleeps in the swing, like, just keep her in the swing. Put your swing in the room. And I was like, Mom, we can't do that anymore. She's like, why? I was like, I don't know, because we just can't. Like, you're not supposed to keep your baby in the car seat. If they were sleeping in the car seat. I'm like, there's just so much shit. And it's like, you can contact nap, but don't you dare nap during the contact nap. But you need to contact nap because it's good for connection. It's good for, you know,
which
for
we've bonding. Been doing. We all nap and contact nap.
We do.
That's one rule we're fast and loose with.
Yeah, with naps.
Yeah.
We're doing what we can. But it is this, like, this such as taboo of, like, nobody cancel me because I sleep sitting up with my baby on my chest.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
Don't cancel me because I sleep
it's
a little bit.
It's not great sleep. I mean, you're dreaming, sure, but, like, you're literally sitting up with your eyes closed.
And I have her in this a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Trying to get some semblance of sleep. But it's rough out here, guys. Yeah. But I'm having a good time.
Yeah.
I'm loving it, really. We'll see how I feel when I have to, like, balance, like, work back into things, which needs to happen within the next few weeks. I'll start editing.
You kind of started today a little bit.
Yeah. I told my client I'd have them photos by the end of the night, and they won't have them. So I have to text her again and be like, sorry. Sorry about it. But I hope you guys know that I'm doing well, and stay tuned on my personal Instagram, and I'll try to keep everybody up to date on Elsie shenanigans. But thank you, everyone, for your advice. I've been asking for lots of advice on Instagram. Everybody who's reached out and said something and has been so supportive and sent your love for us. We love being this baby's parent.
Mm-hmm.
Do you concur?
So it's the greatest honor on earth.
It is. I love her. Even though she's so noisy.
Noisy little being.
I know. But Josh, this has been fun with you. Turkey. I
love you.
I love you. Can't wait for you to go back to work.
I know it. Me too.
But also, I hate that you're going back to work. Yeah. It's a very weird.
Yeah.
I wish you could just like leave for a couple hours a day and then come back.
Yeah.
But no, you have to be gone for like 10 hours on the days you work.
How about I leave roughly 9 to 10 hours? I'll go make some money and then I'll come back. How's that sound?
Capish.
I'll come back refreshed, ready to rock and roll.
You're going
to
be refreshed.
Yeah, you know I'm always refreshed after my white-collar office job.
Yeah, I'm going to hold you to
that. It's not stressful at all, so.
You're going to come back with a great attitude every single day because you're going to be refreshed.
Yeah, exactly.
You heard it here, folks. But thank you all for listening. I can't wait until we can be back with you. I hope it is sooner rather than later. But just stay tuned. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Josh.
And this is For Better and Worse Podcast, and we are out of here.